Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That's Jeremiah 29:11 and an applicable life verse for my guest today. Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans. Joining me today is Diana Prihodko, former Ukrainian orphan, but she is no longer an orphan. Diana is a daughter of the King, a wife, mother, and ambassador of vulnerable children everywhere. Welcome to the show, Diana.
Thank you very much. It is great to be here with you today.
It is such an honor to have you as a guest on our show. Diana, your story grips me because I have four Ukrainian-born children, but also because about 13 years ago, I visited Ukraine on a short-term missions trip. We visited orphanages, learned. I just took in everything I could to learn about orphans in Ukraine. And I saw pictures of street kids living under the metro in Kiev. And when I saw your childhood picture, I knew I had seen that picture before. You were one of those kids that were living on the street. At age 9, you were living on the street in Kiev. How did that happen?
That's correct. At age 9, I actually was born to a Caucasian mother who herself was didn't have a stable environment. She was struggling financially and emotionally, and my birth mom was actually an alcoholic. She was a prostitute as well and a drug addict. Her life was in chaos, and she had many anger issues, and she was had just so much unforgiveness in her own life. And my birth mother was just very abusive, especially physically. When she was angry, she would drink, and that is what started her abuse physically towards me. When she was sober, she did not physically abuse me. So I at the age of 9, I got tired of my mom's abuse and her verbal abuse and her emotional abuse. She started physically abusing me from the time that I was 5, and she was just very angry, and angry that she was a single mother and angry that she didn't have a place to live, and her and I were living from different friends, and she was very just unsatisfied with her life as well. And so her anger was just an outburst towards me because of her chaotic life. And she just was very, very unhealed and had lots of wounds in her own childhood. And she took it out on me, unfortunately. Mm. So at the age of 9, I ended up telling her that I would run away because I would take my chances of living on the streets and try to survive versus living with her and bouncing from place to place, because I knew that eventually she would kill me, because her abuse has gotten so severe over the years that she has burned me, she has hung me, she has thrown me from high places, and God blessed my life. God, touched me, and I always was healed because she never actually let me go to doctors or see anybody for my wounds, because she knew that because of the severe abuse that she would be put into jail, and she didn't want to be questioned. So she just always kept me home, and I knew that running away from her was going to be where I would find safety, at least temporarily.
So after one very traumatic, violent night with your mom, that's what you did. You ran away.
Yes, that's just when I had enough, and I ran away, and I actually found other street children, such as myself, other kids who ran away from their homes and from their parents for similar reasons as mine. And we all formed a little group, and we would down the streets together, beg for food and money. And at the end of the night, we would huddle up together, and we would count what we had, whether it was food or money. And we had someone like a group leader who would decide that we got to spend the money on food or on drugs. Mm. And many times he decided that we would just spend our money on drugs because food wouldn't necessarily last and we'd get hungry again. But he thought that if we bought drugs, then we wouldn't care that we were cold or hungry. So that was his way of taking care of us.
Wow.
And unfortunately, there was some issues going on, even our group and our little gang, and it was getting very unsafe, in an unsafe environment to where I was being asked to do things to bring in the money into the group that I was not comfortable with, and I ran away from that group as well, and I decided to just venture out on my own.
So when you ran away from the group of kids on the street, what happened next?
Next, what happened was I was begging for food. One day I was begging for some food, and what happened was I remember standing by a store, and a woman came to me, and she saw that I was apparently struggling. I was cold and hungry, and she came up to me, and she offered me to come to Father's house, which was not far from where I was located. And I was very cautious of her at first because I heard other adults trying to help kids before, and I just wasn't sure about her, but I was desperate. And so when she told me where to come, she said, "We will clothe you, we'll feed you, and we'll just give you help." And I believed her, and I went to the address that she provided. And from that day forward, my life changed. I went to Father's house, and so did many other kids. There was a line of us, cold and hungry and scared, and we went piling into this two-bedroom apartment where volunteers and different grown-up staff loved on us, shared the gospel with us. Provided us with clothing and with food and reading us books. They didn't expect anything back. They just let us go, and we were welcome to come back the next week and receive the love that we so desperately needed. And this became something I did weekly. I would come and I would receive the food, the clothes, the love from these volunteers and from Father's house staff. And my life changed because that's where I first knew the love of Father, which was Roman Kornico. He was the man who started Father's house in Kiev, and it all started in the two-bedroom apartment where he invited the street kids to come.
Mm. So in Father's house, which is a ministry founded, I think it was in 1996, you said?
That's correct.
By Roman Kornico, Father's house became an orphanage, did it not? A Christian orphanage ministering to street kids?
That's correct.
So
it was a Christian orphanage.
Yes. And it's still ministering to kids today.
That's correct. They are still ministering today. Father's house has many success stories and many adoptions and many kids whose lives have been changed and many families across the United States.
Mm. So while you were at Father's house, a very important gentleman in your life came into your life. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. This was Bob Lehman, a man who came on a missions trip to Father's house from Springfield, Missouri. And when he came on this missions trip, he toured our orphanage and he met me, and he met many other children. And I remember him going back, and when he went back to Springfield, Missouri, he was so touched by what he saw and what he experienced at Father's house. He asked his family to pray and support, and he started collecting funds And he brought my picture back to his hometown and showed it to his church. And he wanted to raise funds. He wanted to do something. And he was only one person, so he didn't know what he could do, but he knew that he had to do something. And local hospital, and he showed them my picture and asked for a donation, asked for services. And at first he got denied because they said, well, we don't do those kind of things. And Bob left my photo on a desk of at the hospital office, and the next day the hospital administrator came back to his office and he said, who's this photo of and who is this child? And the nurses and staff told him that there was a man that came yesterday and he was asking for a donation, but they didn't get his contact information and they're really not even sure who this child is on this photo. And so the hospital administrator was very touched by what he saw, and he said, please find this man and find who this child is. And so that's where my destiny just turned around, and God used Bob. And Bob was able to come back, and the hospital, which is called St. John's Hospital in Springfield, Missouri, they donated all their services. They brought me here on a medical visa and wanted to donate their anesthesiologists and nurses and doctors in order to give me all these plastic surgeries. Because to this day, I've had 18 plastic surgeries that the doctors were so generous with, and they've never seen such a severe case, and they've never seen such a severe case that was someone so young with such burns on their head. And so it was such a blessing to have them open that door for me, and such a miracle.
So you needed...
And I'm very thankful for them.
Yes. You needed extensive plastic surgery from the burns and from the physical abuse from your biological mom.
That's correct.
And Bob Lehman, his heart was just touched when he met you and advocated for you back here in the United States. So you were able to go to Springfield, Missouri. And
that's right.
You spent 2.5 years undergoing multiple surgeries.
That's right.
And then after that, your visa expired and you had to return to Ukraine. So you went back to Kiev and back to Father's house. What happened next?
When I was living at Father's house, I was starting to realize that I really wanted something more, and I wanted a family. I realized that I wanted to have the memories, have the vacations and the trips, and have the love and the security of having a family that I can come home to, and a family that I would love and that would love me despite anything, despite my appearance, despite the fact that I was older now. I was 14, 15 years old, and I was living back in Ukraine at Father's house, and I was desperate for a family. However, I knew that I was aging out, and so I began to desperately pray, and I would daily even ask Roman when he would come to the office, and I would say, is there a family for me? Is there a family for me? And he just told me, keep praying, sweetheart, keep praying. Mm. And those were the only words I kept holding on that whole year I was at Father's house. Is he encouraged me to keep praying, and at times I was very disappointed because I had the feeling that nobody wanted an older teenage girl.
Mm.
And so what happened was there was another person that came on a missions trip to Ukraine. They came to tour our orphanage, and Tara Quinn came with her oldest son, Clay, on a missions trip to Ukraine, and they toured the orphanage. And I got to meet her. I got to spend time with her. And because I already knew English, I was able to share my life story with her. And it touched her. And her and I were able to connect. And I had this such longing for her to be my mother. And I remember at the end of her trip when she was leaving and their tour bus was leaving, I remember asking God to please make her my mother. She was so kind and so beautiful, and I felt like we connected. And so when she left and sat in the tour bus to leave, my heart was aching because I had a feeling that I would never see her again. And I just chased that bus when it left. And I was longing for a family, and I didn't know that I would ever get to see her again.
Well, let me just remind our listeners that you are tuned in to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about foster care and adoption, you can visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. My guest today is Diana Prohodko, wife, mom of six-year-old Alexis, amazing woman of God, but former orphan living on the streets of Kiev, Ukraine from the age of nine. God had a plan for Diana's life and led her to Father's House, a ministry to street kids and orphans. In Ukraine, it is a Christian orphanage. After extensive surgery in the United States, Diana, you went back to Ukraine, back to Father's House. You were almost 16 years old, and you were just sharing that a very special lady came on a missions trip, visited Father's House. Her name is Tara Quinn. You had a connection with her. You were hoping for a family, hoping for a mom and a dad. And what happened after Tara returned to the United States?
After Tara returned to the United States, I continued to live at Father's House. And I, of course, continued to pray for a family. But I had one family in mind, and I wanted to be part of Tara Quinn's family. And so I remember specifically one day, my prayers were answered. Tara Quinn made a phone call to Father's House, and they called for me, and they said, "You have a phone call." And as I spoke with Tara Quinn on the phone that day, she asked me, "Would you like to be adopted?" And for me, it was just such a day of joy and a day of celebration because, of course, I wanted to be adopted. Of course, I wanted her to be my mom. And my prayers were finally answered, even at the age of 15.
So how was your adjustment when you finally got your family, Tara and her family adopted you, you came back to the United States into your forever family. So what was that adjustment like after being an orphan for so many years?
After being an orphan for so many years and then having your prayers answered and being in a family, being in a forever family that loved you, the adjustment, I would like to say, was smooth, but it was not. There was a lot of homesickness at first. There was a lot of things that I had to overcome in my forever family because of my history of being abused and my history of being rejected by the only birth mother I knew. I had a lot of healing, and God placed Tara Quinn, my forever mom, God placed her in my family, in my life, in order to teach me how to overcome those things. So the adjustment in the family, I was learning to adjust, acclimate to the new family rules, and adjust to, of course, the culture. But the biggest adjustment came when Tara Quinn was in constant pursuit and in constant prayer for me and with me that I would be able to walk in wholeness, that I would be able to walk in forgiveness for what my birth mom did to me. She walked me through, she prayed with me, and she constantly reassured me that what happened to me as a child was not my fault. And that is where her repetitiveness and her reiteration of the gospel and of the love of the Father towards me, that's what broke those chains of unforgiveness towards my birth mom. And by all means, I had, as a child, for a long time, blamed myself for what happened to me. Because I thought if I had been a good girl, I wouldn't have made my mom mad. She wouldn't have burned me. Or if I had done this, or I stayed quiet, or I'd been out of the way, maybe she wouldn't drink anymore. Maybe she, and I continued to blame myself, and I stayed a victim through those years. And Tara Quinn continued to pray and continued to be that mother that showed otherwise. And I'm so thankful for her, and I'm thankful that she knew her Savior, and she was able to continue to pour that love into me and just teach me how to walk out in wholeness and in forgiveness. And I can say that I am healed now. I have forgiven my birth mother, and I have learned that it is not my fault about what happened to me as a child. And I'm thankful that I was taught that truth in that adjustment time with my family.
Mm. So, Deanna, would you say that having been adopted into a Christian family made a difference in your life?
Oh, of course. Being adopted into a Christian family made the greatest difference in my life. It made the difference in that I was taught how to walk out the difficult places in life. I was taught that just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to have problems or difficult roads. I was taught that being a Christian in a Christian family, that there is no perfect family and there is no perfect people, but we do love each other and we are there for each other no matter what. And so I love my family, and I love knowing that we are all there for each other no matter what.
Mm. And that prayer sounds like it was just key. You had a mom who adopted you, who passionately pursued your healing through praying for you, praying with you, constantly pouring that love out on you and that prayer and introducing you to your Savior.
She was a main support in those times of transition. She was, her and my dad continued to pray, continued to speak God's truth into my life. Mm. And I think that was very important. I think that is the key as to how I was able to grow in Christ, and how God is using my story and my life now in order to bring healing to those who are still out there and hurting.
Mm. And that, because the adoption is a life-changing, a life-giving thing, and you know, it's okay to get adopted into a safe family. We want that for kids. We want children to have a safe family, a forever family. But there's another whole level of healing that takes place when it's a Christian family who can really minister holistically, mind, body, soul, and spirit. And so with that really total healing, Deanna, what would you say to our listeners about adoption? What would you say to Christian families about considering becoming adoptive parents?
I would like to say to the adoptive parents, if they are considering, adopting, fostering, or even trying to host, that is such a gift that you give to another child. And I would like to encourage those families, those Christian families who are interested in taking this step. It is so important and crucial that, you know, God called you to do it. And first and foremost, that there is continuous unity in the rest of your family, in the home. And so I would encourage everybody to please pray if that is what God wants you to do. And if that's in his plan, then let's pray about it and let's seek God and see what his plans are. And let's be in unity as a family with the rest of the family members. Let's hear from the Lord and let's welcome these children into our families. And let's just to pursue this. He has given us a gift of family, and that we can share that gift with the rest.
That's right. And we can make that physical difference by being a family, by that being that safe place and providing, you know, the food and the clothing and the roof over their head and that kind of thing, education and all of that, medical care. But when a Christian family is ministering and adopting children, then we can also make not just a physical difference, but an eternal difference and bring the children to a place where they have that healing, that emotional healing. You learned how important it was for you to forgive your biological mom, correct?
That's right.
Yeah. So it's just, I know as a parent and as a Christian parent, adoptive mom, that that's the most important thing, is for our kids to know their Heavenly Father and to know Jesus as their Savior, because Amen. that's going to carry them through their entire life.
That's right. One of the greatest things my mom taught me when I was, of course, in high school, she taught me to pray. And that is something that I, used to take for granted, being taught those lessons. But when I witnessed my mom and my dad being on their knees every morning praying as a husband and a wife and being totally dependent on the Lord daily before they went to work, that is something that I now incorporate as an adult into my own family. Mm. And me and my husband pray together before we send our daughter to school. And that is something that I can pass on. And God just redeems everything from our past, and He makes it better. And I'm just so honored that I have been given the gift of adoption, and I have been loved by a family, and I've been taught the right way to love my child. And I'm so honored that I can incorporate what I learned as a Christian into my own family.
That's right. God redeems. So thank you so much, Deanna, for being so transparent and for sharing your story with us. It takes one caring adult to make a difference in the life of a child. And when that one caring adult is actually the church, the body of Christ, it makes all the difference for eternity. Thank you so much, Deanna, for being with us today.
And thank you for having me.
And to learn more about adoption and foster care or global orphan care, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.